and a warm welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's win over Dumbarton, preview this weekend's clash with old rivals Elgin City, and the Scottish Cup campaign begins soon as we give reaction to the second round draw. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Toon Podcast. I am Colin Byers, with me as usual, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
I'm very well, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Aye, not too bad. Recovering after Saturday. All good in the hood, as they say. Lots to talk about on Saturday, including the Strictly live show starting as well. I think we're both big fans of Strictly. Did you manage to get it catched up with you on Sunday?
No.
No, Sunday spoilers. Oh, well.
No, generally, when I had a chance to catch up, it was a busy day yesterday, so I'm hoping that's going to be the catch-up programme tonight.
So that ends that section of the podcast. The banter section has gone already. We'll have to think of somewhere else. I can't think of anything else. Let's just move on then. Right, so Scottish Cup draw was made yesterday, on Sunday. Much to the, I guess, the delight of the club and the management. The management were certainly looking for a home draw, and I guess a favourable draw as well. So we've been drawn against Clough, 28th of October at Balmoor, and I guess the draw ticks both boxes there for the management.
Yeah, I think it does. It's certainly a game that you put in the favourable and winnable category. Obviously, as we approach it, we've got a guard against complacency, but yeah, it's a home tie. Against a team that a lower division, so yeah, it certainly would be very favourable for us, hopefully.
Yeah, you just look at it, I think they're sitting 16th in the Highland League at the moment. No wins this season, 2 draws, 5 defeats in their 7. But as you say, a lot of things could happen between now and then. They'll look at it as a potential scalp. It's got banana skin written all over it, really, for us. But as I've said, we'll probably look at it more closer to the time. But it certainly has been a favourable draw in both draws recently in the SPFL Trust and the Scottish Cup for us, in terms of, you know, money spinning ties.
Yeah, also the Dundee United one at home as well. It's on TV. That'll be a really good one. I'm sure it'll be a bumper crowd. And the Clough game, obviously, it's one of them. They'll be looking to try and put a banana skin on. When you look through the draw, there's quite a few that you would say it's a potential banana skin. I think this is one of them. From the way we do approach that game closer to time, it'll be one that I'm sure Jordan and Ryan will be saying. Look, they'll be here to take a scalp off this. Obviously, their form might improve by the time we come round to it. But, you know, our form's good as well. It's, you know, also a couple of weeks away, but, you know, we're in good form at the moment as well. So, I certainly think it's a game that we'll fancy our chances in, but again, got to guard against complacency.
And of all the Highland League teams that we could have been drawn against, and looking at the results for Saturday, there's a lot of the Highland League teams that did make it through to the second round. So, of the ones that went through, I guess this is probably the one that would have maybe fancied more than some of the other ones.
Yeah, as you said, there was a few teams went through, a couple of really difficult ties in there for some of them as well. So, look, as we said, it's a home tie. I'm sure Jordan, Ryan and the club will be delighted that they've got that home tie. And you'll be looking for us to progress in the next round.
So just to remind you, that is on October the 28th, scheduled for October the 28th. I can't see that one being earmarked for TV, but you never know. That's the weekend of the October the 28th Scottish Cup tie against Clough. So let's get on to Saturday's game. Away at The Rock in Dumbarton. Ended up being a 1-0 win. It's fair to say we've hit the grind out, particularly that first half. Overall, though, what was your take on the game?
Yeah, I think the first 15-20 minutes, I think Dumbarton certainly were, I wouldn't say the better team, but they had a lot of the ball and created a couple of chances. But I think there might be a few occasions this season where we've just got to hang in at times. I think that Saturday was a prime example of it. We hung in, and then the second half, I think the changes that Jordan made were bang on as well. He got them right, the right time, the right players. So I energised the team quite a bit as well. I thought he got it spot on. And then, yeah, we took foothold of the game. The goal was coming at that point as well, a bit of momentum with us. And we came away worthy winners. Quite a few shots throughout the game, quite a number of them on target as well. And yeah, I think Saturday would have been job well done away to a team that, you know, just fancied to be at the top of the right end of the table, near the top. And yeah, I thought everything on Saturday went well for us.
Yeah, and everything probably did go for us, and it's what we said last week about, you know, turning games that are looking like a draw into wins, and later on maybe it's turning a game that's looking like a loss into a draw, and that's maybe what we're going to have to do, is certainly grind out. But I don't know, as you said, apart from that sort of 15 minutes at the beginning of the game, I never really felt as though that Dumbarton were on top, and they certainly didn't make McKenzie work at any time throughout the game either.
No, I think Stuart maybe one save. Yeah, off the top of my head, one save to make throughout the game. Like I said, they had a lot of ball, a lot of it in the wider areas. I think we were maybe quite happy to allow them to have the ball in the wider areas. A couple of crosses come in, but yeah, Stuart didn't have much to do in the back, but I think that's testament to the players in front of him, Ryan, Strachan, Jason Brown at the back, colossal again, didn't put a foot wrong. And as you said, this is the games where if you came away with a point, I think we'd have been sitting potentially fifth, but you get that extra 2 points for the win, making it 3 points, you're sitting second, and, you know, things are looking good. So, yeah, whilst I'm sure the boys aren't getting carried away, it was a really, really good win at a difficult place.
Just the two changes for the previous week. Scott Ross and Jack Brown came in for Jordan Armstrong and Jordan Brown. And so we still remain as 4-4-2. Danny moved across to left-back, Scott Ross played at right-back. And I think this is maybe an example of keeping the team as fresh as possible, because I didn't think Jordan Armstrong had done anything particularly wrong in the previous game. I think he's worthy of being considered for a start, unless there was a niggle or something there. But goes back to what was said before about the squad this time round. It's that deep in quality that we can change up without it affecting the team too much.
Yeah, you just need to look at the options that we've got coming off the bench now. I think a few folk have mentioned that in recent weeks. You look at the bench and the quality that we've got on, the guys that can change the game. I think anybody that misses out now, they can sort of feel hard done by to an extent. But, you know, when you've got the quality in the squad that we've got, you'd expect Jordan Ryan to make the changes where they see fit to do. And, yeah, it's just unfortunate that Jordan Armstrong was one of them that's maybe been a victim of that, just having a seat on the bench in the game.
Jack Brown played wide right, a position he's not overly familiar with. Probably prefer to play it in the middle or as a number 10, but was pretty good again. He just runs all day, and up and down that side tends to drift in as well. I think maybe that if we are going to be looking at that 4-4-2 for the sort of remainder of the season, or for the vast majority of the season, maybe this is where Conor Duffy's injury might just come back against us a little bit. You know, having out-and-out wingers, Robert Ward obviously one, O'Keefe is another one, both, you know, left-sided, I guess you would maybe say. So maybe we're just need to fill in that hole a little bit on the right-hand side.
Yeah, probably agree. I think, you know, we tried it last week. Jordan was out wide. He liked to drift in as well. Jack did it on Saturday. And it is difficult if you're asking the full-back, Scott Ross on Saturday, if you're asking him to run up and down all day. Yeah, I think we're going to struggle a wee bit. But the formation seems to be working. The players seem to come what tasks they've been asked to do. So it's a formation I think we should keep to. They've done well with it. But again, I just think that full-back is going to have a long day if the right-hand side player's cutting in. But I'm sure that'll be probably addressed in the January window.
So you mentioned the Dumbarton having the vast majority of the game, sort of first 15 minutes. Then came that injury to Greg Young. Instantly, I think the majority of us knew it was a bad one. One of those where there's nobody really around about him, and he stayed down, he hasn't moved, and there was a growing concern the longer, obviously, that he was doing on the deck. It got to the stage where Barone physio Donald came on as well, which, you know, that tells you a story straight away if you're getting help for the opposition's physio. I think it was about 7, 8, 9 minutes possibly that he was down for in total. And you just wonder maybe if sometimes that maybe affects one team more than that. I don't think it really did. I don't think it really put anybody off too much. In sort of Dumbarton carried on being on top.
Yeah, first of all, I hope Greg's going to be okay. Going by Fergus Ferd is going to be, it's his ACL, so he'll be out for probably the season, but we wish him well. Like you said, I think you can sort of tell when there's a really bad scenario appearing when you've got the opposition team, physio or club doctors or whoever that may be, coming over to assist your team. And, you know, it's, I think it was a strange timing in the game as well. We noticed, obviously, we go back to Conor Duthie at East Fife, and you just know straight away when a player goes down how bad the injury is. And also when Greg went down on Saturday for Dumbarton, you knew straight away that something wasn't quite right. You've seen the players run about and try to get the physio on pretty quick, and then obviously got the medical staff come on. And, yeah, there was a period of about 10 minutes, and they didn't really count if it was happening. And I don't think that changed the tempo of the game or anything in either team's favour. And, you know, Dumbarton, they made the changes and they tried to continue and the manner of the game was going on. But, yeah, it was one of them you just knew straight away. I think Jack Brown might have been the closest player for Peterhead. It wasn't close enough to make a challenge or anything. So that's how you knew straight away once he landed and didn't move that there was a serious injury.
Yeah, and as he was going off, you could see he was getting the oxygen, the gas in the air, I think it is, as well. So obviously that just is kind of curtail the pain a little bit, but yeah, we'll hopefully it's not as serious as it looks. But if it is, then he could be in for a long year. But as we've seen before, we've seen ACLs. I think we touched on it a couple of weeks ago, actually, when Conor got injured. But it seems to be a growing thing, and it's one of those where players can come back from. We've seen our own Hamish Ritchie come back from it already.
Yeah, the players can come back from it. It's probably a difficult. There's never a good time to get it, but you know, early on in the season, when you've been doing a pre-season, you're ready to go. But with all the sports science that clubs have got nowadays and the technology that clubs can use, can even do in this league too, you do hear the physios with the knowledge and the club doctors and staff. And yeah, hopefully he's back in the pitch sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so as I said, it didn't sort of affect the way the game was going at that stage. The Dumbarton were still on top, had won off the line, but other than that, a lot of the ball without really testing McKenzie too much.
Agree, yeah, I think they had quite a bit of the ball, especially the first 15, 20 minutes, but didn't really create much. I thought, if I'm being honest, I thought they were pretty poor in the attacking third, and I think there was quite a few Dumbarton fans saying beforehand that they're okay till the final third, but you know, I think you mentioned it actually after the game that somebody had said they could be there for another 3 hours and they score on Saturday. So I think it's pretty obvious to see where their problems lie in terms of scoring goals. I thought they were relatively solid at the back, although we created a lot of chances, a few things from distance. But yeah, going forward, I've got to admit, slightly disappointed. But on the flip side, I thought we defended very well, very resolute. We knew what we were doing, we were well structured. And, you know, that's something we didn't say often last season, so it's quite pleasing that we're able to say it this year.
It was right about the 38th minute before we really got into the game. Conor O'Keefe had an effort called wide. You can see what he was trying to do, edge of the 18-yard box, just trying to call it that far post. Just didn't get enough curl on it, maybe just mishit it slightly.
Yeah, it's probably one of them. You can't exactly see what he's trying to do. He's trying to curl it around the keeper, but inside the post, and he's just started a yard or two too far out. But, you know, if you could see the idea was just execution wasn't on target.
Yeah, and that was pretty much it for the first half. I mean, it was one of those games, you know, Dumbarton pretty much on top for the vast majority without really creating too much. We had maybe one effort. There was one, a bit of play doing the left-hand side, Danny Strachan getting forward for the full-back here, putting a really good cross in. Into that, what's it called, the corridor of uncertainty, as they like to call it, right in between the defence and the goalkeeper, right along that sort of 6 yard line, and just crying out for somebody to be on the front foot to knock it in. And that's a couple of, was it the same game? Maybe it was a game previously. Somebody did a situation like that. And I just wonder if that's maybe where you're looking for Kieran Shanks to be a little bit more smarter and, you know, be that sort of poacher and anticipating the cross coming in that area. Because you've already got Rory, he's maybe got to hang back that little bit further. So maybe this is where Kieran should be going, right, I'm going to be right in that 6 yard line.
Yeah, probably. That cross was also in Danny's so-called weaker left foot as well. Brilliant ball across. It just, as you said, it's begging for somebody just to be back second and tap it in. And hopefully, I'm sure as the season goes on, Kieran will be more and more familiar with, you know, the setup and, you know, balls coming across and probably using the experience of Rory to, you know, you need to beat the back post.
Yeah.
But as you were saying, there wasn't many chances in the first half. I think what it showed was it was two teams that, rather than going out to get the win, they were more concerned, especially in the first half, about Neil losing the game. I think both teams realised that one goal could be decisive in the game, and they didn't really want to give up too much, you know, play their cards too early. And I think you've seen the game open up a lot more in the second half.
And on the second half, then Conor O'Keefe, almost right for the start, had an opportunity down the left hand side, cutting in on his right foot. Brilliant save, I think it was, by Brett Long in the Dumbarton goal. Really quick to come off his line, and I think that just narrowed the angle a little bit. Again, Conor had that kind of sighting in the first half. This one was obviously more on target, but it was well saved by Brett Long.
I think the fact that Conor had a sighter in the first half, it probably made it a wee bit easier for Brett Long. They'd taken nothing away from the save. I thought it was a brilliant save. But yeah, coming up against arguably one of the best keepers in League 2, I think you could almost see that Conor was going to be doing. As soon as he'd seen the first touch and was heading towards goal, I think Mace Folk in a blue shirt would have known that Conor O'Keefe was going to try. Brett Long's been smart. He's a really good goalkeeper. And he'd have known what Conor was trying, and he's made a really good save.
Kieran Shanks was the next one to have an effort, and we could laugh at it now. However, if the game had ended 0-0, or if Dumbarton went gone on to win it, we would be laughing about it. But this is the link up play between the front two, McAllister and Shanks. McAllister putting him in through, and he gets through on goal. He's one on one with Brett Long, and you're looking at him just smash it into the far corner. But for some reason he tries to dink it over Brett Long and gets it absolutely horribly wrong, and it's a bit of a sort of head in hand, red faced moment for him.
Yeah, as you say, we can look back now and hear a wee bit of a chuckle about it. But had it ended 0-0 or even worse, you'd be looking back on that chance and thinking you've got to do better. I think that's going to be the difference this year with Kieran. Very young striker. I'm sure, like I said, as the season goes on, he'll learn from it. But that's probably the difference between being a good striker and a very good striker. When you get that sort of chance, because I think Kieran could have had two, possibly three on Saturday, and he's come away with none.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's a lot of good play throughout for the team and his effort and work rate, commitment and all that. But, you know, you want him to be on the end of chances like that and putting them away. And then I think there's going to be a lot of games where Rory McAllister plays 90 minutes. So you're looking for Kieran to be that man. Yeah, last 20 minutes, if I'm one-on-one, I'm going to take my chance. And at the moment, you'd be thinking that, yeah, Kieran maybe needs about two or three chances before he gets one. You want to try and make that. As soon as he gets a chance, he's going to put it away. But she said, looking back now, we can have a laugh about it. But, yeah, that's the ones you really want, just to be clinical in front of goal and put it in the back of the net.
Listen, if we'd been 3-0 up, he was on a hat-trick or something, then fair enough, try the nonchalant finish or something like that. But, you know, you want to make sure you're killing games off, winning games that are tight, and that's the kind of chances, as you said, you look back on, you think, well, if he hadn't scored that and it ended up being 0-0, we could have been, a game could have been going the other way, and we could be looking back on that and saying that's a match-winning mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure whether Kieran's trying to give Brett Long the eyes or not, or whether Brett sort of read it, what he was going to try and do, but it didn't quite work out for Kieran. I'm sure if he gets that chance maybe this week coming against Elgin, he'll put it away in the back of the net.
Ryan Strachan was busy at both ends. He had a chance for a corner, again well saved by Brett Long, and then up at the other end, clearing another one off the line for the second time in the game around about the 75 minute mark. So yeah, it was, a goal was coming at that stage. I think it was coming at one end rather than the other. And as I said, the other than those two off the line, there wasn't much else that Dumbarton were creating. And Ryan, as you said, and him and Jason both played really well at the back, not allowing Dumbarton to create too many chances.
Yeah, and especially that second one, I think experience dealt at that moment, because you know everybody was sort of attracted towards the ball. You've seen everybody running out, and he was the one that was very quick thinking, smart, just to drop back on the line and be the person to clear the ball. And yeah, as I said, I always knew that Ryan and Jason would form a really good partnership, good friends off the park as well. And I think you're starting to see the benefit of that now as well. I think that's probably the one area of the pitch where you wouldn't want to change it too often. Obviously, you're fully aware of Ryan's injuries and also being a co-manager and maybe wants to spend time in the dugout. But, you know, if you've got that good a partnership with Jason Brown, and also your keeper as well, with Stuart McKenzie, and the three of them, I think they all know their job, very experienced guys, good at this, very good at this level as well, then it's a partnership you wouldn't want to really break up.
And by this stage, we had Hamish Ritchie, he'd come on, and a host of chances for him as well. Could have walked away with the match ball as well. You know, he'd won over the bar, won it, just clipped the top of the bar as well. And you just think to yourself, well, this game is ending 0-0. Doesn't matter what way we look at it or how we're going to go about it. The bar's just not going to go in. Fortunately, it did. After 85 minutes, it's Hamish Ritchie managed to tuck it in from, you know, a very good build-up play. And if you watch the goal back from, you know, the build-up prior 10 seconds, Ritchie picks it up from the wing and plays a pass in, and he just keeps going, and he just sort of waltzes in unmarked at the back post. McAllister manages to pick him out unmarked, and it was a simple finish for him.
Yeah, second time he's come off the bench in two games and been able to score a goal. I think, was it Jack Brown who beat East Fife? Did it, a similar thing, they've played the pass, and I think, you know, previously they'd have played a pass and have been quite static, but now they're willing to play that pass and they're willing to break into the box and be that extra man. Yeah. Unselfish for Rory McAllister as well. He's seen that Hamish in a better position, squared the ball across. Yeah, Hamish couldn't fail but to score from that position on the park.
And from there, you know, it was only like 85 minutes on the clock, and it was still, well, it was about 5-5, but that's how late the second half had kicked off. But there was never any doubts that that was going to be the winner, because, as I said, Dumbarton never really sort of pressed or pushed on to try and get an equaliser.
No, I think they were, like I said earlier on, I think they were good up until the final third, and then you can sort of see where their problems lie. They flattered to deceive, like you said, they had a lot of ball, a lot of it in wider areas, and even when they tried to come through the middle, they were met by Andy McCarthy, or they bashed into Jason Brown and Ryan Strachan, and you're never getting through that at the back. So yeah, I think they flattered to deceive, probably a wee bit disappointed with them from a Dumbarton point of view, but I thought we didn't allow it in play at the same time. I thought Scott Ross and Danny Strachan in the full-back areas as well knew the right time to go forward, knew when to just to sit. And yeah, absolutely no complaints with the result.
And then they were down to 10 men. Gray got sent off two yellows within the space of 5 minutes. Nay, any complaints really with either, particularly with the second one. There's an argument that it could have been a straight red.
Yeah, I think so. I think had he... Well, it's a Scottish referee. I'm not sure whether he would have got a straight red if he had been booked. Yeah, it was a nasty one on Jason Brown. He could have been a lot worse off as he had sort of anticipated it coming. But yeah, I mean, he was arguing after he got sent off as well, and I don't think there's any grounds to appeal it or anything. He's wild. It's reckless. Yeah, he knew what he was doing, and yeah, thankfully, referees picked up and sent him off.
Well, we wasn't going to mention the referee after we had a long section of it last week, but yeah, you're probably right. He maybe would have picked it up, but yeah, as you're right, I think Jason did it. He anticipates it and gets his foot off the ground. I think if it's a planted foot, it could have been a lot worse.
Oh, I think if it was a planted foot, it could seriously have been a leg breaker. I think Jason just anticipated that maybe a second before it happened. He's been quick enough to move his foot. He's still got a nasty catch on it, but yeah, thankfully it's nothing too serious, and he was in good spirits on the way home.
You mentioned the substitutions as well, and I've got that written here as well. I think the substitutions were spot on, and at the right times as well. McKee coming off, Hamish Ritchie coming on, O'Keefe off, and Aaron Reid as well, and I'll come back to him, and Shanks coming off, and Robert Ward coming on later on as well. You know, as I said, you look at the substitutions, they were the right changes at the right times. They were changes that were looking to affect the game as well, and not just to kind of, you know, coast out and see how the game goes. It was changes that were trying to affect the game. You know, we'd go on Ritchie wide right, Jack Brown come into centre midfield, and then, you know, you're bringing on Aaron Reid, so you've got Reid, McAllister and Shanks on at one point of the game as well.
Yeah, like I said, I think Jordan Ryan's formation, the team selection, and even the substitutions, I think they got it bang on. So, absolutely no complaints, and even Big Aaron Reid, when he came on, put in a lot of good touches, especially doing that wing, and being able to hold the ball up. Nice touches. Yeah, I think they've got everything right. And as you said, it was changes that were looking to make an impact in the game. I think previously we've maybe been too like for like, and sort of being a wee bit scared to try and change the game, whereas now with probably younger managers, I think they're more aware of how important points are, and anybody can beat anybody. We've said that numerous times this season, and they realise the importance that, you know, we've weathered the storm a wee bit in the first half, first 20 minutes, there wasn't much in the game. Both teams tried to open up in the second half, and obviously I think you can bring players off the bench likes of Aaron Reid, Hamish Ritchie, Robert Ward, and with the quality that we've got, I think the substitutions were bang on.
We mentioned Aaron Reid's pace before, but by Christ, he can work the ball at his feet as well. You know, for a big lad, he's got nimble feet, and he was probably introduced at the right time just to kind of keep the momentum going in our way, in our direction, and just keeping the ball in that area as well.
Yeah, for a big lad, he's got a nice touch, he's got a bit of pace, he's strong. Must be a nightmare to play against as a defender, because you never really know how he defends against him. But yeah, some of his touches, even just knocking it down the line and trying to hold the ball up, winning throw-ins and corners, it was a bit of a cameo appearance for 10 minutes. But, you know, he certainly gives him, the manager, something to think about when you've got players like Shanks, McAllister and then Reid. You know, it's a really good front three, and it's just trying to keep them all happy at the same time.
So we end up with 16 shots, 5 on target. Most of those were in the second half. Dumbarton had 11 shots, 3 on target. 2 of them were clearances off the line, so probably just that one save, as you said. But I want to mention Dumbarton manager's post-match, and we looked at it on the way home, Stevie Farrell, and I'm going to quote them here. He says, defensively, Peterhead didn't cause us too much problems. They had one good bit of play and opened us up and scored. One good bit of play, he said. Now, we've mentioned at least 3 or 4 good opportunities and saves from Brett Long. I get sometimes when you're watching a game, you know, you're sort of maybe blinking a little bit. But to say that we didn't cause them any problems and only had really one good bit of play to open them up is a bit of a slap in the face.
Yeah, I think Stevie's comments are harsh. I think when you look back, and maybe Stevie will be the same when he looks back at the game, whenever they do or if they have, that he'll maybe think the comments wasn't great. I think we did create a couple of chances. He said 16 shots, 5 on target. I think we were in the ascendancy the last 20 minutes of the game. And yeah, I think the fact that they've even said, either Dumbarton supporters, that we could have been there for a couple of hours on Saturday night and they scored, I think he's maybe just tried to deflect it a wee bit, try to say, well, you know, I think he's trying to go down the route of, it was an even game, and you know, it's one goal separated the teams. But I think if you were there on Saturday, you'd be hard to press to say that Peter Reid weren't worthy of the winner. And yeah, like I said, I think Steve, even who looks back at the comments, might think they're a bit harsh.
I think the vast majority of the folk would agree that the goal was coming, and it was only going to be coming for Peter Reid.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I think Dumbarton causes too much problems going forward. I think we're in the ascendancy the last 20 minutes. And the fact that we'd, you know, Shanks, Reid, McAllister, Hamish Ritchie on the pitch as well, we were trying to be in the ascendancy and attacking. And I think we deserved the win. I think Stuart had one save. They had two, whether Stevie Farrell thinks that was going in, both of them, and that would have been the difference. Who knows? But yeah, I think it was an even game to an extent, but I think we deserved the win.
So it gives us three wins on the bounce after two losses in a row. We've now got three wins on the bounce, two in the league, obviously one in the SPFL Thrush Trophy. And if it's the first time we've managed that since April 2021, so heady heights we've reached already. it's something you take for granted, these kind of things. But after the last 2 years, three wins on a bounce is quite a novelty for us.
Yeah, as you said, it's been a long time coming, and I'm sure the guys will be, you know, that I was disappointed if they've lost a game. And we've seen they were in good spirits on Saturday coming home. And you don't want to temper it by any stretch of imagination, but, you know, as Jordan said, it's one game. You look to the next game and you try and maintain that form. But yeah, it's a good place to be at the moment.
Right, let's get some of your comments on. Derek Bain, 3 points away from home and a clean sheet. George Buchan, a brilliant 3 points on the road against a team above us in the league. Sets us up nicely for the Elgin game on Saturday. Scott Finlay, 3 points and a clean sheet on the road. Can't ask for any more than that, to be honest. Well done, lads. Peter Bruce, great 3 points away from home. It was no surprise for me that we scored late on. With the strength of players we have on the bench, that's a difference from last year. Ethan Stewart thought Danny and Ryan looked very good again, with Ryan saving us twice off the line. Looked a bit shaky at times, but looks to be a reoccurring theme that the team doesn't give up and keeps going to get the results. Kyle Berthwistle, slow start and sloppy passes, but second half we seemed to take control and look pretty steady, and the goal confirmed the win. Keith Leslie, back four was solid again. Great play in the build-up to Hamish's goal. Jack Brown is like the Duracell bunny, never stops. Boys seem to make all the right decisions second half and deserve the victory. Graham McLean, great 3 points on the road, but thought we could have played better collectively. Second touch often let us down, especially in the first half. Jack Brown covered every blade of grass. Another solid performance from Danny Strachan, and two off the line clearances from Ryan Strachan, deserving of individual mentions. Neil Thompson, another great away day. After the early pressure, we took over and was by far the better team second half. Thought Jack Brown was best player, turning in all over the park. Kieran had one of those days when nothing went for him, but gave his usual 100%. Rory with another assist. We mentioned for Aaron Reid, who came on and looked handy. Hamish getting his goal is turning into be a bit of a habit. So a lot of good points, positive points there. And Jack Brown rightly getting a lot of praise. And then just going forward as well, but defensively, there was the one tackle right in front of us in the first half. Second half it was, sorry. The guy was heading at the box and he looks as though he's beaten. But slide tackle, an old school slide tackle.
I think it was good to see the old school slide tackle, is it? Right along the grass. Yeah, Jack's one of them players who never gives up. He gives everything on the day. And even games when he's not playing that great in attacking sense, he'll never give up. You know, that's something that you can see rubs off on other players, even Runa Bootin. And yeah, he's one of them players you'd much rather him in your team playing for you than playing against you.
And a lot of mentions there for the defensive part of the team as well. It was great to get the clean sheet. Stuart McKenzie will take the plaudits for that. But you know, throughout the team, everybody's working hard, and you can see the difference between what was happening last year in terms of the effort and wanting to try and put the effort in and try and affect games.
Yeah, I mean, if you think back last year, we'd hardly kept a clean sheet at all throughout the whole of the league campaign. So can you go away to, you know, opening day away to East Fife and you win with a clean sheet, and then a clean sheet again away to Dumbarton, a team that were top of league two until, what, February, March time, they were winning it at a canter and blew it. You know, going to places like that and winning with a clean sheet gives you massive confidence. And it's okay winning games 2-1, 3-2 and all that, but for your defence and your goalkeeper to keep a clean sheet is just as well as scoring goals. And yeah, to be successful, you've got to score goals when you're not playing well, but you've also got to keep clean sheets. And yeah, as you said, Stuart will take the plaudits for the clean sheet, but the guys in front of him, Scott Ross, Danny Strachan, Brian Strachan and Jason Brown, they deserve massive praise as well.
Right then, one final thing on Saturday then, will be we're Pie Watch. So Martin, give us your take on the Dumbarton Pie.
Oh, it certainly wasn't as good as East Fife.
Bit salty.
Aye, bit salty for our liking. Yeah, good content in it. Nice bit of beef, nice bit of steak, but yeah, just a wee bit salty. But the Mars Bar was good. I'll give them that.
It was. I think it was a bit, for something that was supposed to be steak and gravy, there wasn't much gravy in it. It was
maybe got a gravy and the salt mixed up.
It was. Yeah, it was a bit dry. Pastry was really, really, really dry. It's you'd hey, I drink weight, but it's one of those where you're really gasping for a drink after you've hit it or something, just to kind of keep it going. But no, it wasn't that great. And some of the guys were saying on the way home as well that even like the sausage rolls weren't that great either.
I think the food was a. It was top notch, and certainly will happily take their 3 points at home. I take their positive buys.
And was it cash or was it card?
You could have paid either or. So again, I take for being able to use card. If I have got a negative on Peterhead, that is the pie hut that we've got. You cannot pay by card. Hopefully that'll change over the foreseeable future. But yeah, doing it Dumbarton, you can pay with card or cash.
So out of a score of 10, what were you giving that one?
Ooh, yeah, disappointed. It wasn't much gravy, a bit salty. You're probably looking at a 5.5 or a 6. Not good.
Ooh, I was going to get a 4.
A 4? Jeez, you certainly didn't like the pie.
I'm a harsh critic of the pies. That was not good. I mean, East Fife has set the bar quite high, so that's maybe the problem.
Well, that's maybe the issue that we've got.
Had we gone to Dumbarton first thing, first game of the season, the bar obviously would have been a little bit lower before the rest of the season. But there we go. So, before we move on, just one other thing. No Jaffa, no party. Derek Bain has brought up one point here. Talking about, actually. He's asked there, is there any contract extensions or negotiations with Hamish Ritchie yet? Boy's a brilliant player. And something which is worthy talking about, because Hamish now got 2 goals in 2 games. It's his 3rd goal of the season. He obviously scored in his first one back after his long injury against Park Thistle. We know how good he is. He's the only one really. It's hasn't had a contract extension yet. His contract is up in the summertime. So you would imagine, being a player of his caliber and how key he's going to be, there is negotiations going on, and whether or not it's just a matter of time. I suspect it was around about this time. And I forgot to check, actually. I think it was about this time last year that he got his extension For this season, after obviously picking up his injury, so this may be something to that as well. But certainly a player you definitely want to keep.
Oh, absolutely. We've said for a number of years now that Hamish Ritchie is a really, really good player. And I'm sure there is talks underway whether how far along they are and how close they are to an agreement. You know, only the club and the player will know. What I would say is that Hamish has got the perfect bargaining technique now. He's got two goals coming off the bench, so you'd like to think he's maybe saying he's wanting a wee bit more. But I would certainly think the club would be well through negotiations. Also, less than a year ago in your contract, you want to be fully aware if it's happening. But, you know, when you've got a player with the quality of Hamish Ritchie at your club, you need to try and do everything in your power to keep him.
And going by his day job as well, as an accountant, he's not going to be missing out on any extra pennies here and there. He's got to be making sure that bonuses and everything else that he might be get is going to be correct. Why not? I mean, he's going to make sure he's right. He's going to be 27 by the end of the season. You know, so potentially, you know, 3 or 4 really good seasons left in him.
Yeah, and that season where he got injured, again, there's no loyalty in football, but he maybe felt, yeah, he'll get another season for Peterhead because he said 27, but then with the view to maybe if his contract's finished to move on. And as you said, with the age he's at, he might look to go somewhere else, to have a crack at something, try something new and different. But as I said, if you've got a player like Hamish Ritchie on your books and he's at your club, I think you've got to try and do everything that you know possibly can without, you know, breaking budgets and putting anything at risk with the club and the team. Nobody's bigger than the club. But yeah, as we've seen in the last 2 weeks, what a difference he makes when he does come on the pitch.
And there'll be some who argue, so, well, why is he not starting? It's possibly because he's still recovering from his ACL. You know, yeah, he has been playing. It's weird how sometimes you think you're fully recovered, and these little niggles maybe creep up on you a little bit more, and maybe just have to manage his game time a little bit better. But listen, if he's going to come off the bench and get 20-30 minutes at a time and come on and make the impact that he's done in the last two games, then bring it on, keep it going. But he is playing in a slightly different role, and that's back to what we said about the 4-4-2 now that we're seeming to be playing. He's playing a slightly wider role, more suited or more, I've seen him play more in a central role, central midfielder as an attacking midfielder. So it's a slightly different role for him again this season.
I think when you've been out for 8-9 months, you can't just expect to come back and play every minute. And I'm sure Hamish isn't that sort of lad. He doesn't come back and expect to play. But you've got to manage that game time. From Hamish's point of view, he'll want to play every minute. And Jordan, Ryan and even Donald, the physio, they've got to manage the expectation, just temper things ever so slightly. But as we've said, when you've got the quality in the bench that we've got, you don't necessarily need to play a player like Hamish every minute of the game when you can bring him off for the last 20 minutes and you've seen the impact that he's got. And, you know, you cannot take that for granted. A very good player, one that I'm sure that we're looking to tie down to at least another year, because he's certainly got the quality.
And he's probably one of the quieter lads within the squad. Just lets his fitbody do the talking. But yeah, really, you want to try and get this one organised as quickly as you can, because you know we're less than a week away from October. So in 2 months' time, he's free to sign for anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think probably if you're looking for the outside looking in, you'd think, well, in 2 months' time you can talk to him. If he's going to keep up the form that he's showing, then I wouldn't be surprised if there is other teams and other suitors looking at him. So the sooner we can get it tied down, one, you know, if we can get him on a contract, then brilliant. But if he decides that it's time to move on, he wants to try something different, then at least we've got until the end of the season, whether the club might decide to sell him in January for some sort of fee. But yeah, I think they'll be well underway with contract negotiations, and it's just a case of a matter of time. Hopefully, we'll see that over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, so hopefully there is something in the pipeline with that one sooner rather than later, because it just makes it after all the hard work that they've done getting the squad in and getting everybody else on extensions, you'd be really disappointed if they didn't get this one done.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've done a lot of really good work, and I think getting Hamish Ritchie tied into a new contract would be just as good as getting a new player in the door of massive quality. You can't underestimate how much quality Hamish has got. Like I said, hopefully there'll be something announced over the next couple of weeks with a contract extension, and I'm sure the club are working on it.
Okay, so that takes us on to this Saturday's game against old rivals Elgin. First time in the league in the last 4.5 years, we're not going to mention last season's cup game, which was lost 3-0. We'll just bypass that completely. And if you take yourselves back to the 18-19 season when we did play them four times in the league, we did win four times as well. So, you know, historically, it's a team that we've had a lot of success over since joining the Football League 23 years ago now. So, you know, I think we've only had seven losses altogether against them in the league. So, in that time, so it's another opportunity here to kick on again and get that win record going again.
You'll maybe be keen off the top of your head, but was in there around about this time that we played Elgin last season in the cup game? Got royally beaten, I think it was the end of September last year, was it? But yeah, we've got a really good record against them, and you'd be hoping and almost expecting that record to continue on Saturday. Elgin really had a start of the season well. A lot of people tipped them to be near the bottom of the table. And on the form that we're in, on the back of three wins in a row, you'd expect to be going into that game full of confidence.
Yeah. A lot of people tipped them to be near the bottom. There are others who tipped other people to be near the bottom, but we won't get into that at this stage. We still bookmarked those tweets. But yeah, really tough time for them. And I think the not having Kane Hester is the linchpin, their goal scorer, is obviously going to be affecting them as well.
I think most people expected once Kane Hester left Elgin that they would be in for a difficult season. And probably, and something Peter Head have experienced in years gone by, is the geographical location at Elgin. Probably difficult to try and recruit players. You know, a lot of players in the Central Belt, but you try and get them to come up to Elgin for training or to play in a match. Very difficult to try and convince them. So I think they're probably a sufferer of their location as well. But, you know, they've had a poor start to the season. And I'm sure they'll be looking back on the game last year in the Cup as something of a springboard for them to come into the game on Saturday. But the form that we're on, I am expecting us to be very good and, you know, win the game.
Yeah, we're a completely different animal for last season for that game. And that's why it's probably not even worth even mentioning it, because it was such a time where we were that poor anyway, you know. I think Elgin's youth team could have come up and won that game as well, you know. So it just shows you how far we've come along. And we're now going into games like this, and when you say expecting to win, but we're massive favourites.
Yeah, I think rightly so, given the quality that we've got in the squad. And we've said that numerous times now, but the squad is full of quality throughout, and, you know, anybody can take anybody's place. And, you know, if you want to be at the top end of the table, these are games against a team that's struggling in your division. You're the home side. You've got to go and win. We've got to take the positives from the game on Saturday, and even the positives from the home win the week before, that we can win at Balmoor, and, you know, just go and put on a good performance and the win will come.
If there's any sort of niggling caution that needs to be done, they did have the Coupon Buster a couple of weeks ago when they beat Dumbarton 2-0. Nobody really saw that one coming. But then they followed it up on Saturday with a loss to Clyde, when maybe too early to call it a six-pointer, that one. But, you know, if Clyde had lost that one, they would have been really caught adrift at this early stage. But it was a much-needed win for Clyde. So, you know, beating, you know, one of the league leaders and then getting beat the following week to the team below you, maybe just sums up how Elgin Scenes is going at the moment.
Yeah, they'll be disappointed with that result on Saturday. They'll be looking to bounce back. I'd expect them to come down to Balmoor and try and frustrate us. I think they'll try and sit in. I think they'll try and make it difficult for us to break them down. But, you know, we've shown in previous games, we've just got to keep at it, you know, working the ball from side to side and try and get through the gaps that they leave. But I think it will be a game where we've got to be patient, but I do expect that result to come in the end.
And we're now at a stage where we're focusing on what we can do in a game now, rather than going, right, they're obviously going to be attacking or whatever, as what we were used to last season. Now it's a case of, well, if we just play our own game, the result might just take care of itself.
I think last season we were so focused on how can we try and stop the opposition rather than being on the front foot. But I think when it got to a certain stage where you just lost so many games, it was a case of damage limitation. The morale was rock bottom. Whereas it's the opposite now. Morale's really good. The dressing room's a really good place. You've seen that on the way home on Saturday. The spirits amongst the guys are really good. You know, they've got that winning feeling. And once that becomes a habit, it's something as a player. You don't want to lose games naturally. But, you know, once you get that winning feeling and you get the feel for it, you want to continue in that momentum. And they'll be looking to do that again on Saturday.
Because of the changes that was made on Saturday and the players, it was on the bench. Is there anybody, bar maybe two or three, that are nailed on starters these days, or can anybody come out for anybody at this stage?
I think there's one or two in the team. Like I said earlier, I think you've got Jason Brown, Stuart McKenzie and Ryan Strachan. I think that trio at the back is really, really good. Again, they like to move Danny for side to side, Scott sort of in and out. But yeah, I think maybe there's two, four players that you maybe say, right, they're nailed on to start week in, week out. But it does leave other positions available. And that's not to say that through injuries and suspension, things can change. But I think last season, as we've mentioned before, we were going to games at Balm, we were knowing who was going to be playing before the team lines came out, because you just knew it was the same players week in, week out, whereas it's a lot different now. You've got to earn your place. You know, Hamish Ritchie scores a goal off the bench 2 weeks ago and he was still on the bench on Saturday. Obviously, we came that's through coming back from an injury, but it just shows you, even though you play well for coming off the bench, you're not guaranteed to play. Players like Aaron Reid played really well when he came on for 10, 15 minutes on Saturday. Is he in for a contention at start, but then do you drop Shanks or McAllister? So difficult for the management duo. I'm glad it's their predicament rather than ours. But yeah, I think there'll be a few players that are certainly vying for a position in the team.
I mean, you could maybe really take the piss and have McAllister, Shanks and Reid all starting on Saturday. I mean, that would really be a turn up for the books.
Well, certainly one that you wouldn't rule out. You could put one of them wide and then you've got the other two up top. As we've seen, Shanks went wide left for about 5-10 minutes on Saturday. So, position that he's played in a few times, even last season off the wing. So, yeah, I mean, the management duo have got, you know, abundance of things that they can change. They've got the players that can play different positions. Like I said, I'm glad it's their predicament rather than ours.
Right now on the Blue Team podcast, joining me to speak about Saturday's game is Elgin City fan Andrew Watt. Andrew, welcome to the Blue Team podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
No, not at all. I know things aren't going particularly well for Elgin at the moment, so it's good to get you on. But it's good to get the Peterhead Elgin games back again, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a while. We had used in the cup last season, but it was a good result for us, but in terms of league games, it's been a few years.
Yeah, we'll bypass that cup game for last season. Yeah, it's been a while. I think it's been 4.5 seasons since we last played each other in the league, 18-19 season it was. But so Elgin then, been a bit of a poor start for yous, sitting second bottom or joint bottom, if you like, you know, with Clyde. How's things been going? Where's it going wrong?
It's been a tough start. Obviously, changing manager doesn't help. A lot of young players as well, so it's been tough.
Has Kane Hester been a bigger loss than a lot of people were thinking?
Massive loss. To replace 29 goals, it's very hard for a team like ourselves to replace that many goals. We've got quite a young team this season, and it's been a tough start, so hopefully we can change that Saturday.
And you talk about 29 goals, but you obviously, I think you end up finishing, was it 8th or 9th last season, so without his 29 goals, you'd be thinking to yourself, how far, how much poorer would you have been?
Yeah, well, Albion Rovers only finished a point behind, so if you take that goals out, you're probably bottom of the league, so yeah, massive hole to fill, and it's not quite clicked yet.
Are you finding recruitment difficult? I know sometimes we've been the same, trying to get players up to Peterhead. Are you finding it just as difficult?
I think with the pyramid opening up, down, you're competing with teams like down in the Lowland League for players. You'll know yourselves, trying to get players up this kind of neck of the woods is quite difficult.
Are you still getting the players sort of in and around Inverness as well, picking up sort of young players in and around that kind of area?
Yeah, we've got three boys from Ross County, got a couple from Aberdeen, and then we signed, I can't even think off the top of my head now, we've signed a couple others as well, but as you said, recruitment's been really difficult, just where we are in the country, and now we've got a younger team now, and struggling a bit.
And your change of manager as well, you said, I think that was a change that most folk didn't see coming. I think it was for personal reasons more than anything else. You got a new manager in. How's he changed things? Have you seen any signs of improvement?
We look far more organised. We look like we've got a good shape to us. Everybody knows their jobs. Everybody knows what they're doing. It looks like they're buying into it so far. And that's all you can ask. I was down at the Bonnie Rig game about a few weeks ago. And you could tell then, I think, change was needed. Unfortunately for Ross, he's went back just to being a player. And Barry Smith's come in, and so far so good. Obviously, wasn't great on Saturday. I think we were a bit unlucky, missed a penalty, make it 2-2. Had a couple of our chances, but every point's a prisoner in this league, so we need to start picking up some points soon.
Do you think Barry's experience is already shown through?
Oh, definitely. He's managed at a decent level, managed at this level before as well, I believe. And for a young team to have somebody like that, it can only be a good thing.
You mentioned the game of Saturday. You haven't come off the back of beating Dumbarton, a team at the top end of the table, absolute coup and buster for Mestbrook, and beating them 2-0. You then go and play Clyde, and you lose that one. Is that a sign of how inconsistent your season's been so far?
I think that was the same last season. I think we picked up results when people least expected us to, and then probably bust a few coupons last season as well. The Dumbarton games was fantastic. We played really well, worked tirelessly, got the two goals, and hung on in a bit at the end. But then you go to playing a team who've really struggled at the start of this season in Clyde, came down from League One as well, and then we'll go and get beat. So, as you say, a bit inconsistent, a bit frustrating when you go every week, and you just want to pick up get a bit of momentum going, get a couple of results, get confidence, especially for such a young team as well.
We obviously played Dumbarton on Saturday, and we were speaking to a couple of their supporters before the game, and they were quite surprised how well Elgin actually played, and I think maybe there was a bit of complacency within Dumbarton going into that game. So did you find it you know, you played well because maybe they were just expecting just to turn up and win it?
You could say that maybe. They had their chances. I'd say they started the better in the first half an hour, and we slowly grew into the game. You could see the confidence was growing as we got further into the game, got the first goal, and that kind of settled the nerves. And then second half, again, Dumbarton must have probably got a rollicking from the manager at halftime, come out, missed another few chances, and then we get a set going. I think from there we look quite comfortable. I think another thing I'll say as well, I think a lot of people tipped us to be bottom of the league this season, so maybe that'll come into it as well.
I was about to say, the game against Clyde on Saturday, probably too early to call it a 6-pointer, but it certainly was the two sides that were almost cut adrift, and Had you won that game, you would have probably been obviously pulled further away from Clyde, and they would have been cut off adrift altogether. Was there a sense of it was an opportunity missed by not, extending that lead or at least preserving the lead?
I think it's a bit early for that. Every point is a prisoner in this league. We would have liked to get the win, but we're not even through the first quarter yet, so just see where it goes, and hopefully we can pick up a few more points. The team gets more experience and get and start to climb the league.
What was your expectations at the start of the season? Prior to Kane Hester leaving, and maybe did then the expectations change after that, or were they pretty similar?
Probably pretty similar. Just every team seems to be getting stronger. It's harder to compete teams with money as well. So, and especially where we are in the country, every season it seems to get more difficult. So just staying in the league for now would be great. Obviously, we want to be pushing maybe playoffs. I don't think I would be foolish to say we would be winning the league, but playoffs, we finished a couple of seasons ago in the COVID season, got third place, I think it was. So I'd love to be pushing, maybe try and get fourth place playoffs, but at the minute, I think staying up's got to be the priority.
And because you've been League Two as it is now, Division Three, when it was in 2000 when we both came up, and you've been in there ever since, do you find that as every year goes by, it gets more and more difficult to try and get out of League Two?
Absolutely. It's frustrating. You see all these teams, the likes of your Cove Rangers and Celties and teams like that, they're coming up, go straight up. Obviously got a bit more finance than we have, but seeing all these teams, even yourselves, coming up and down a couple of times, I wouldn't mind that, just to get up and say we've been up. But it's frustrating, it's getting more difficult, and I think the more years that roll by, the more difficult it's going to get, unfortunately.
Right, let's talk about set of this game then. You make the trip down to us on Saturday. What are your thoughts, what are you expecting from this game?
Well, we've not got a great record against you boys. Obviously, we beat you in the Cup last season, but I think we're probably going back about 10 years for the last time we beat you in a league game. I know you've been up a couple of times into League One. I would love to say I'd like a win, obviously, every fan would. I would probably take a draw, but I can't not back my team here, so hopefully we get the 3 points. But you guys have started well, you started strong, and you've got a certain Rory McAllister back who seems to like scoring against Elgin.
It does indeed. What do you think will happen if we get the first goal then? Do you think it'll be a case of the heads will drop?
If you get the first goal, it'll be hard to see it get back into it, but you never know. Football's a funny old game. So hopefully, maybe score first and give you boys something to think about.
Well, that's it. I think the first goal might be crucial. Who's the kind of players we should be looking out for? Who's the guy it could maybe turn the game in your favour?
I really like the look of young Ryan McClemmon. We got on loan from Ross County, centre midfield player. He's 18 years old. He's got a good touch, good dribbling, good passing. He's got a shot on him as well. I don't think he's scored yet, but he's came close a couple of occasions. Young Liam Harvey as well. He's kind of picked up a little bit of form in the last few games. Got a goal away at Morton in the Cup, and he scored against Barton in the second goal, which was an absolute screamer, by the way, if you haven't seen that back. And he's started to score a couple of goals. And I would say Mitchell Taylor, has been signed as a left winger, played against us last season for Camelin Juniors in Scottish Cup. He's kind of found a new position in the team, kind of like a left wing back in a back three, back five and defending. Mm-hmm. But I think he picked up a knock, so I'm not sure if he'll make it. Hopefully, here's hoping. But I would say that would be the three, and then you've got your likes here. Brian Cameron's kind of been around for 11, 12 years. Russell Dingwall's always reliable for a goal. So that would probably be the ones I would pick.
So there's a good mix of experience and youth that just try to get them to play together and get that cohesion again, getting going.
Yeah, it's just trying to build a bit of momentum. I think momentum's such a big thing in football. If you can get a couple of results back to back, and the team will grow in confidence, and then changes the whole outlook and who you're playing next, you can actually believe that you can get a result, get a victory. It's just try to build that momentum up.
Yeah, and after the season we had last season, we know how you feel about that. Finally, then, what's your score prediction going to be?
I'll go for 2-1 Elgin.
2-1 Elgin. Okay, so obviously that'll be a
back the boys.
You're right enough. Yeah, you kind of come on here and name back your boys. So that's it, Andrew. A pleasure to have you on. Thanks for coming on and chatting about the game. We'll maybe catch up with you again over the course of the season. But for now, thanks for coming on, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks for having us on. Thank you.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Elgin fan Andrew Watt for joining me to preview Saturday's game, and of course to Martin Smith for his insight. A big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.